The log is off.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Good evening. Episode number 10 is upon us.
You must be very excited for this, because I am. And this is your, this is you putting a flag into season one of this podcast.
Right, so big things here. So I've got a very special beer. So just to set the scene, we've got to 9 beers. We've done 9 podcasts. This is our 10th. For the 10th, we're going to have a little bit of a bye, which means that this bye is a one-off beer that I'm testing you with. You're probably not going to like. No, I didn't say that. Rewind. This is a beer that you're probably going to love. It's a completely random style, really difficult style. It is a beer, but it's, you will not have had anything like this before. And this is my wild card for episode 10, just to see what the reaction is. You know when they open tins of that fermented fish?
Oh, don't say that, man.
It's going to be like that. You're going to be like spitting all over your computer.
Just for the first time ever, I've got a bottle of water on standby.
I've got to be honest, I actually really, really like this beer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really like it.
So, and it was quite difficult to get, I must say, and certainly in my neck of the woods, there didn't seem to be many. It's a supermarket beer.
It's not. No, this is not a supermarket beer, to be fair.
Well, I got it in a supermarket.
I know, it's just come into one of the posher supermarkets. It's been in for a little while, but ordinarily this used to be really quite difficult to get. You used to have to go to specialist shops. So
yeah,
Waitrose have upped their game.
So my parents got me this when they went to Hexham the other day. Shout out Jen and Ted for getting this for us.
It was, Waitrose is the only place that I've found that do like quite exotic beers at times. So that's where you go with. Got this this special beer that we're going to get into. It comes with a cork, so our opening will probably be take a little bit longer than usual as well.
Yeah, it's like a champagne cork thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's because of the way it's brewed. So we'll go into that later.
I tell you what, I was quite shocked at the price of this.
Yeah, it used to be a lot more expensive than it is now.
It's like $3.50 or something, I think.
But they usually come, you've got a $3.30 or a $3.50 bottle, is it?
Where did it say that?
They usually come in like 500s. They're usually like half a litre of these, so they're usually a bigger bottle.
$3.75.
Yeah. Traditionally, they were a bigger bottle. And you usually get them in 750s as well, which is a lot to do.
Do you reckon there's loads of people gone into Waitrose and not being looking properly and think they've bought about half a bottle of champagne?
Half a bottle of champagne, maybe a bottle of cider, something like that. But yeah, I mean, if you know what it is, then you're all right. You know, I'm making it out as if it's like a rare beer form. It's not. Most people don't know what this is if they're into their beer. But when you haven't had it before, it could be quite an experience.
Yeah,
I gave this to a Danish fella. So we had a mini beer festival. I said, I'll bring the beers. And he made some Danish tapas, which was like, so Danish tapas was like a smorgasbord.
I know pastry, that's,
no,
bacon, and I don't know what else you would have. Fish. Right.
Yeah. So we had open sandwiches, one with roll mops on, you know, pickled herring.
I mean, you get that at the Westwood when you order a buffet.
Pickled herring, and no one's got a clue what the Westwood is, you know.
It's a club. Don't look at that.
Pickled herring on rye bread. I think we had prawns on rye bread. A lot of rye bread, a lot of fish. Mm. It was all right, though. But anyway, I gave him this beer, and he went white after he took the first drink.
Oh, don't say that. That's just strumming and made a Danish guy go white.
Honestly, he went... I could see his
face. Do you know what's the worst thing about that? Danish people eat sastrømmen.
Oh, honestly, he went white, and then he went green. And I looked at him and I said, if you can't drink it, don't drink it. And he went, no, I can drink it. And he had another drink and he said, I think I'm going to leave this.
Fucking hell. Right, I'm nervous now.
So, yeah, so it's all right. So anyway, to mark our 10th episode. Yeah. Do you think we should do a little recap on where we've been?
Yeah, let's do that. Hang on, I'll get it up. The list, I mean. So, can you remember what we did first?
Yes, I can, but no one knows.
No one knows. So
well, let's say the reason behind that then.
Basically, we just recorded it on... Well, I don't think the standard of the podcast was particularly bad. I just think we recorded it on dog shit technology.
Recorded on dog shit technology. It was completely off the cuff as our first one.
Yeah.
It was rambling. It went on for about an hour and 10 or something like that.
It was quite long, yeah.
Really long. It was very serious as well in some parts. It was a lot of beer talk and it was very, very beer-led.
You spent like 20 minutes telling us about the subtle notes of punk IPA.
So one day that might make an appearance. But then we went on two, and that was our first one getting going. Having listened back to it, I think it was a bit shit. We were still finding our feet, but we managed to get some proper recording equipment and all that sort of stuff. So the second one was...
And it did allow us to get in Beaver Town.
Yeah. Just for a laugh.
If nothing else, we can get Beaver in there.
It's like, when has the word Beaver never been funny? Exactly. Just makes you laugh. So second one was Beaver Town. Then we moved on to...
Camden
Pale Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that was well received by you. Probably not that particularly interesting a drink, but it was well received.
Yeah. And then it was Clubfoot?
Club Tropica. The name of the podcast was Clubfoot.
That's my fault because I've written it down here as that, sorry.
But the beer was Club Tropica, which I think was a very good one. I think you really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you my list and preference after we've gone through what the order of the discipline was.
So from Club Tropica, we went to...
Rocket Lolly.
Rocket Lolly, which was a Northern Monk, I think, based on a Rocket Lolly ice cream.
Yeah.
That was, again, hit all the right notes, that one, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, really good.
Then we went a bit more traditional from Rocket Lolly. I think we moved into Belgium then, didn't we? We went into a Leffy.
Leffy, yeah. Number six was Leffy.
Leffy. So we went. You really like started to get into it then because you were really enjoying the Belgian-y style traditional beers.
Yeah.
So building on that traditional style, we moved into a Duvel.
Yeah.
We had a Duvel Blonde, strong beer. 8%, I think, Duvel Blonde, isn't it? So it was a pretty beefy one. And we'd recorded two episodes that night. So I'd had a couple of pints after work. We then recorded Duvel, which was 8%. And then we moved on to Blue Moon as another Belgian beer. So if you listen back to episode 8, you can definitely get undertones of drunkenness.
Definitely towards the end, it gets a bit leery.
It's a bit slurry, bit more swearing than usual. A little bit, but for me, that was one of my favourite episodes, actually.
And then it was, the last episode was ICAT.
Yes, which was by Salt Brewery in Bradford. And that went down, again, another strong mother.
So shall I tell you my favourite? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go from my least favourite up to my favourite.
Go on.
And then it's got that Top of the Pops vibe on it.
So, do, 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 do,
in at number 9, ICAT.
What, least favourite?
Least favourite.
Okay. But palatable because you gave it a lagers off.
Yeah. Not a bad one at all, just my least favourite. Then number 8, I've got Punk.
Okay.
Just because it was fairly boring.
Yeah.
Number 7, I've got Camden for pretty much the same reason.
Dull, yeah.
Now, this might shock you. Duvel at 6.
Mm. Mm.
And then at 5, I've got Beaver Town. And then at 4, I've got Rocket Lolly. And then 3, Clubfoot.
No, Club Tropica.
2, Blue Moon. And number 1, Leffy.
Number 1, Leffy. So tell me your top 3 again. Do, 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 do.
So Club Tropicana, number 3. In at number 2, Blue Moon.
Blue Moon.
And number 1, Leffy.
Interesting. So you like a Belgian blonde, which is always good to know.
Do you know why I think Duvel didn't make the top 3? Just because it's too strong.
It's not too strong, is it? It's just your weak pussy ass live ever can't take it.
All right, I'll rephrase. It's too strong for me.
So I went out last night and we have a little bit of an impromptu beer club at my local pub. So we all take a can of something.
Of course you do. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that's so... So what? That's so middle class. Let's all bring a can of something, guys.
I mean, if I was the landlord, I'd be like, do you all want to fuck off bringing your own beer and not pay for my beer?
I know you're not allowed to do that in the pubs around here.
It's like, you can't just bring your own. No, you're not allowed, in Washington, you're not allowed to bring your own stash of Blue Wicket.
Do you know what that's like? Eating your McDonald's in Subway?
But not actually buying a McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, so someone brought one and it was a 16.5% barley wine.
A wine?
Barley wine, which is technically a beer, but it's brewed with barley.
So why is it called wine then?
It blew my bloody kipper off. It was fucking vile.
So had they made that?
No, it was a bought thing. It was actually from a brewery called Wonder Beyond, who are absolutely superb. I love Wonder Beyond usually. But this one, they loved it. Some of the guys there absolutely loved it. For me, it was just a little bit too much.
Could you taste how strong it was?
It was very, very boozy. Very boozy.
See, that's too much.
Right.
Are we going to open this then? Do we have to do something special?
No, we don't have to do anything special at all. So as long as you've got, I'm assuming that you'll have had the foresight to keep it upright.
Yeah.
Right, so this is, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't open it yet, this is a Old Gers Boon. This is a Gers beer, which is, it's from the Lambic family. So basically what this is, it's like a blend of beers. It's spontaneously fermented, and what that means is it actually brews itself by the natural yeasts and sugars that fly in through the window and stuff.
So, what?
Yeah. So,
what flies in through the windows?
Yeast. No, so they put it outside a male changing room and just hope for the best.
Oh, God. That's wild. Okay.
So traditionally it used to be done in these huge open stone troughs with all this beer in it. It used to be done in the countryside by the monks, and anything that flew in through the window used to ferment it.
Right. If you did that in deep South Texas, it would be called moonshine. If monks do it, they sell it for a pissing fortune.
So a lambic beer is that. Spontaneous fermented is around that lambic. And then what they do is they take all of these blends that they've got and they mix them together to make what is that year's Gers. So this one is a 1920.
A 1920?
A 2019-2020.
Right, okay.
They're the blends of it. And it usually takes 3 years to do a Gers. Now, if I'm correct, I think this is called Gers Boon. It sounds very Belgian, but I have a feeling, and don't quote me on this, that Gers Boon is like Brian Boone, and he's from Walsall or something like that.
So, like the TV show Boone with Michael Elphick.
Yeah, literally. What's the theme tune for that?
Ah. Boone. Hi-ho, Silver.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, okay, so this is going to be fizzy. It's going to be almost a bit funky, cidery-like. Let's just get it open, shall we?
If this tastes of rotten fish, I'm coming for you.
Doesn't taste of rotten fish. Here we go.
Whoa! That was exciting, wasn't it?
I don't think we've had a cork popper yet, have we?
Nah.
Now, don't worry if there's a few bits floating around in this. It's just, that's normal.
Right. Can I just ask a question? Are you just tipping that straight into a glass?
Yeah, but I usually leave the bottom centimetre or so. You'll see it go a bit cloudy if you pour it slowly, and that's when I stop. So I'm going to leave it there. I've left about 3/4 of an inch in the bottom.
Well, how do we left something in the bottom? What do you mean? Oh, in the bottom of the bottle?
Yeah. Have you just poured it all in?
No. Listen, I'm not going to say where I thought you'd been.
Can you smell it?
Yeah.
What are you getting?
I'm trying not to.
What are you getting?
It started off being all right. I don't know what that is.
I'd just like to tell everyone that on the way up to this, when we were buying this beer, and when Ted and Jennifer got it for Dan, he requested that they buy him two, just in case doesn't have enough with one, which I thought was a brave move.
Yeah. Actually, one of the reasons for that as well is in case I dropped one or smashed one.
So, right, what do you see? What do you get? So, first of all, what about the artwork? You have an artwork critique.
Oh, shit, yeah. I think this could easily be mistaken for half a champagne bottle if you don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Like, probably like a really cheap champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll
go with that.
Yeah, like that Buck's Fizz stuff you used to get for Christmas.
And then if you look at it on the eye, where are you giving this on the urine scale?
Well,
bearing in mind it's fizzing.
I still can't work out the smell. So again, I haven't got much light. It looks... that's a heavy weekend in Dublin, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll go with that. Heavy weekend in Dublin, probably Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting over it, yeah.
Yeah, bit fizzy as well, so obviously that's that's always a bit alarming in your piss. So I think I would just like to raise a glass and say, here's to episode 10. Bottoms up, dude.
Hang on, mate, before we have a drink, what is that smell?
Lambic.
Right, here we go. Cheers. Fuck, I'm nervous. I haven't had a drink yet. I'm scared. Right, here it goes.
Don't pussy sip it. Give it a good couple of mouthfuls.
Fuck. I'm so nervous. Hang on. Right.
Oh, that's bloody lovely. I wish everyone could actually see Dan's face right now. His eyes have gone a little bit glazed over. His palate is currently jumping from sweet to sour to milk to sour milk to cider to apples. And his face is just looking very, very confused. Although, not disgusted.
Mate, I'll tell you what, you were like the town crier of my mouth there. Everything you said was happening while you were saying it.
Hear ye!
Do you know what? I'm not going to make a decision now, but it's all right. I thought I was going to vom, but it's not. It's all right.
It's strange, isn't it? It's really strange.
There's a lot of things going on.
That's it. It's really, really complex. And when you taste it, even just the fizz can come in different waves.
It's got a bit of a wine taste initially.
It has, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like a white wine taste.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it's very, very winey, actually.
And then that pisses off, and then you get the sour.
I'm going to have to... then you get the burps, which I've got at the minute. Because it's incredibly carbonated, isn't it?
Yeah, which I quite like. Mm. I think that's quite nice.
Refreshing.
Oh, and then I've just got... bicarbonate of soda.
Yeah. Yeah, it does have an air of that. And I also get a bit of yoghurty milkiness, off-milkiness.
Mm. Yeah.
Really selling it.
Oh, there's the burps.
Well, I tell you what, have you poured all of your bottle out there?
No, you told us to leave some in the bottom.
Yeah, have you just left an inch or so in the bottom?
Yeah, so yeah. I'll tip that in now.
No. So that's just interesting that you've drunk that so fast. Because it's actually thirst quenching as well.
Right, okay, so one thing I forgot to mention was this wasn't as cold as I'd liked because I got them this morning and I put them in the fridge.
Jesus. Well, actually, mine haven't been in that long, so this should be very cold, though.
Yeah, I can see why. Ugh, that's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. For this, you can understand why I didn't throw this in as a number 4 or something like that. He's going in for another drink. I'll just say you've drank 2/3 of that now. I just want to warn you that it is 7%.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
We didn't discuss that. Did you tell us that?
No, I did not. No.
I'm actually quite pleased I like this.
I am. This opens up a whole different world now. So, you know, I mentioned about my beer club, people. We had a Gers tasting session, and I think we had something like 14 bottles of Gers between us. So each there would have been 14 people there, but most of these Gerses are in 750 bottles. And my wife came to pick me up at the end of it. My God, I have never burped and farted so much on my way to the Lake District. And after that day, I'm a big lad anyway. I felt like I was about 50 stone. I was just, belly was out.
Yeah. I know, I had tea late, so I've come to this quite full, and that's expanded us somewhat.
Yeah. Oh, well, there we have it. Not an absolute write-off there. So we'll come back to this. We'll revisit it. You're just, keep going back to it. You see, you can't help but talk about this, can you?
There's an intrigue about it because it's changed taste now. It's now become a lot more sour straight away. So it's not giving us that sort of white wines thing straight away now. It's gone real sour straight away.
I think it goes in waves through the bottle as well. That's how you taste it. Because mine came out really, I've just had another drink there and it was really, really mellow. Really mellow.
See, I'm getting like, you know, them sweet toxic warheads.
Funnily enough, I don't. but it is meant to be sour. It is meant a sour beer, yeah.
Right, and do you think the monks discovered this by mistake? When they were letting the yeast fly in through the window.
Well, we think the yeast is flying in through the window, but, you know, monks are monks.
Yeah.
Let's not get involved in the church.
No, let's not.
I don't know. God knows, but it's an ancient form of spontaneously fermenting beer, so...
Speaking of ancient forms, you know what I was thinking about the other day? So my son's got a smartwatch, right? And he was charging up beside the bed, and I kind of thought, does anyone need a smartwatch? And then I started thinking about, did we have watches when we were kids? And I remember your watch. You had this watch, which was a digital watch. I think it was a Casio. And you programmed phone numbers into it. So it was a phone book. And what you could do is go to a payphone, hold it up to the payphone and press it, and it would go boop, boop, beep, beep, boop, 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 and dial the number. Can you remember that?
I do, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, that was my pride and joy, that watch.
That was brilliant.
It was a Casio, yeah. It was at the time when you'd go to the Argos catalogue and it used to have all the Casios on there. And do you remember that?
Yeah.
Seeing the difference of the models.
Did you used to play that game with the Argos catalogue where you'd turn every page and just pick something from each page? You're allowed to pick one thing.
Yeah, or in your dream house, what it would have in it. Yeah. Even down to like the bedding and the lawnmower.
Yeah. Well, I'll have that Breville toaster.
Yeah. I'm going to buy that cordless phone to go above the bed because you've got to have a phone in the bedroom.
Yeah. And then I started thinking about technology we don't have anymore that we did have back then.
Oh, well, you know, I'll tell you the one that comes to my mind straight away, which is still unbelievable. I think you are the only family in the Northeast who had an Amstrad emailer phone.
Fucking Alan Sugar didn't even one of them fucking bastards, did
he? Even Alan Sugar knew they were shit. And it never even bloody worked. I remember trying to use it, and you had to do it through the bloody form pad of the phone. It would take you 40 minutes to type the email address.
It had a shit keyboard that kind of came out the bottom.
Yeah,
and then
that's
you would
right,
type that in and then send it, and then it would go through the phone line. But I tell you, at the time, though, people used to knock on the door in the street and say, can I use your emailer? Because people didn't have things like that then.
What, in your street?
Yeah, so people knew we had it and just knock on the door and say, I need to send this email. Can I send this from yours? So they'd come in and... So it was useful.
Did you charge them?
Probably not.
Well, it wasn't that useful then, was it?
I don't
And also, you were sending emails from your email address to wherever they wanted to send it.
Well, yeah, it was like that then, though, wasn't it? Like, people didn't send emails much. And like, this is like 1995 or something.
It was probably quite cutting edge, really. It was too much ahead of its time, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was shit, though.
Yeah, it was awful. I also remember that, I had an Amiga 500.
Oh, yeah.
And I was quite lucky with that because, it was when you could just pirate games and stuff, wasn't it? You could just buy games and get them copied. And I remember having boxes and boxes of games for this thing that were, 30p each and stuff on floppy.
Yeah, because I'd get, three Mega Drive games a year. I'd go around yours and we'd play on 400 games in a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've come back in there. Well, they've reinvented them, haven't they, as an emulator. So you can emulate.
Fairly easy, aye.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've actually modelled them up as a little small Amiga. That was
they've done that with a few things, like Nintendos and stuff. God, can you remember? Games. Do you remember back in the day when you used to have the cordless phones? So, yeah. So you'd have the phone and then you would pull out that extender thing.
Are you talking about Plumgate?
What?
Are you talking about Plumgate?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm right.
I had the phone. Martin was at ours. I had the phone for some reason. And I pulled the extender out. Martin was getting on my nerves. So I went to poke him in the plums with the extender. And I messed it up and I bent it. And it was like Kenny and Rich Mike. Can you remember that?
You look like Terry Wogan on Blankety Blank.
That's what I mean. And I got really told off of my mum.
And that was one of many times when I annoyed you and you did something that broke. Do you remember trying to put up the IKEA cabinet? And the screw that you were putting in reappeared out the back of the whole thing, which I don't think was meant to happen.
I can't remember that. I remember throwing the TV remote at you and it's smashing off the wall.
Oh, and then you're trying to put it back together and literally not knowing where any button went.
And I remember, it's not technology, but I remember I once threw three darts in your foot.
Yeah, bloody hell, I remember that. Why did I even like you?
I know. I think the thing is, though, right, context to that, every time we used to play darts in my room, you used to throw a dart next to my foot.
Yeah.
So one day I just threw three at yours, and unfortunately they all went in.
All stuck in my foot. All three darts stuck in my foot.
I was terrified for weeks.
You shit your pants.
Because the worst thing was you didn't do anything. So for weeks I was like, oh God, I'm going to get a dart in the back of the neck here.
And here we are, 30 years later, and I still haven't seeked my revenge.
And, oh, can you remember the time? Me gran, God bless her. So me and Martin were upstairs at ours, and I just said, Danny, I can't turn the TV over. So I came downstairs, and me gran's there. And she couldn't turn the TV over. That's because she was trying to use an accountant's calculator.
Now, hang on. But the best thing was, this thing had a fucking printer on the end of it, didn't it? Like one of those...
And had a big roll of paper on the end. She was trying to watch Innerdale.
trying to turn the television over with a till roll on the calculator. It's bloody telly won't turn over.
Ah, so it was great, me gran. Do you know what her favourite film was? My gran's favourite film of all time. She was 82 when she died. Guess what her favourite film was?
I think I know this, and it's something like Rocky or...
American Ninja 2.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, American Ninja 2. Oh, one of the classics.
It is, yeah.
Oh, God. Well, that's made me smile anyway.
Yeah, that was funny.
Right, so back to the beer. This has been a very beer-centric episode, this. It was all about this beer. Like we said, it doesn't really matter whether you want this, like it, or don't like it. But I think for the purposes of continuity, we've got to say, Dan, where do you stand?
Right, okay. As I've gone further down the glass, so I've got A quarter of a glass left.
Yeah.
I'm not enjoying the last bit as much as I enjoyed the first bit because it's got a different flavour profile. But I also
beer
quite
snob.
Like that.
Beer snob. Beer snob, as it please.
Beer snob.
Kind of a beer snob, but
you said beer. You said flavour profile.
Okay. But
can I just? So I would say as well. So, not usually that size bottle. Probably the next one up. But I would usually share that bottle.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
You said that a lot about you, and that seems quite alien to me.
I'd have shared that bottle.
Do you put two straws in it?
No, you just take little sips each. Pass it back and forward.
Tramp
like
style.
Like a lover's kiss.
All right, go on then. Ask us the question. Yeah.
Dan, is the lager on or is the lager off?
The lager, although it doesn't really matter because it's irrelevant in this issue because you've got to buy, is off.
The lager's off.
Wow. I think that's genuine.
It is genuine.
And I think that's because in 10 episodes you have grown as a man.
Okay. I thought you were going to say you've grown your beer appetite.
Well, that's what I meant. You've grown as a man and you've got out of your silly little nuances of thinking that lager is the best and you've realised you're not actually a football hooligan.
Yeah, and I also used to think that if you told us that story about your middle class beer club any other time, I would have thought you were a knob. Actually, it sounds quite fun.
So all these years, you just thought, what a cunt.
Yeah.
I've tasted over 2,000 beers.
But I can see why. And actually, do you know what the best thing is about it, right? You'll probably disagree because you're a pisshead. But I think the more you get into this, the less you drink because it's about the flavour, not the quantity.
Yeah, I agree. So this week, apart from yesterday when I went out and I had a few pints, which I do on a Thursday anyway, other than that this week, I've drunk one can of beer, and it was a stout, a big heavy stout.
Sorry, yeah. I got a kick of the last.
I saw that. You got the last bit there, didn't you? It's probably time to leave the girls. Yeah. What I would like you to do, though, with that bottle, that other extra bottle that you've got, just leave it in the fridge for however long. And then we'll probably move on to some heavier drinks. And I think we should revisit the Gers after something like a heavy, oily stout because it's like a palate cleanser.
All right, okay.
And it works really well. Like an alcoholic palate cleanser.
Can I ask one question before we go?
Yeah.
What would you have this with food-wise?
Ooh. So, you know, this is one of my big things. I love beer matching. I love food matching for beer. So I would say this, because it's got a lemoniness to it, I would match this with a dessert because it's sour. So I would go for, I want to say something like a... And again, I'm running the risk of being a twat again. I think I'd go for a lemon posset.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
That's right, you heard it here first. I said posset.
What the fuck's a lemon posset?
Lemon mousse.
Why didn't you say lemon mousse last?
Because it's a lemon posset.
What is the difference between a posset and a mousse?
So yeah, so I'd probably do... Yeah. So yeah, did I go left of field there, pairing it with a dessert?
Yeah, but I tell you what you got us thinking about. You know how when you go to them posh restaurants and they've got the like taster menus?
Yeah.
And you normally have like a wine with every... So you have like 15 courses or whatever.
Can you not give away my master plan for a business?
Oh, sorry.
Because that's exactly what you're going to do right now.
What, like a beer with everyone?
Yeah, beer matching with course. I mean, it has been done before and people are doing it, but I think speciality of that, definitely.
So they come out with like, sir, for your first course, here's the pork scratchings. And we paired that with an Australian lager brewed in Burton.
Beaver Town. Right, well, let's on that beavery note, let's leave it there. Maybe we should have recorded the video for this, because a lot of it was lost in the actual visual here, I think. So that's episode 10 done. So I think we're going to have a little break, aren't we? And we're going to come back to this fresh in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, we'll hit with season two, a little bit more polished, I think, and refined. And, well, mate, you've got 100% record. And
yeah, not a bad start, really.
I think you're going to come out firing a little bit.
And we haven't actually scratched the surface yet. We haven't had a single dark beer yet.
Oh, can I just say, though, we did agree this before, that we're going to probably go off supermarket now.
Yes, so yes. We are getting our orders in with a local beer merchant. We're going away from the supermarket, and we've stuck to it quite well. Even the Gers, you could argue, was a supermarket beer below. It
definitely is, because I got it from the supermarket.
So maybe season one is the supermarket beers. Season two, where we might go on a different theme that may come to us. On that note.
Yep. All the best, mate, and I'll see you in season two.
See you later. God bless. Don't drink that other bottle.
All right. See you, bro. Bye-bye.
The log is off.